A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Stave 2. The First of the Three Spirits. When Scrooge awoke, the chimes of a neighboring church struck the four quarters, so he listened for the hour. To his great astonishment, the heavy bell tolled with a deep, dull, hollow, melancholy one. The curtains of his bed were drawn aside, and Scrooge found himself face to face with the unearthly visitor who drew them. It was a strange figure, like a child, yet not so like a child as like an old man. Its hair, which hung about its neck and down its back, was white as if with age, and yet the face had not a wrinkle in it, and the tenderest bloom was on the skin. "Are you the spirit, sir, whose coming was foretold to me?" "I am."
"Who and what are you?"
"I am the ghost of Christmas past."
"Long past?"
"No, your past." Scrooge then made bold to inquire what business brought him there. "Your welfare, your reclamation. Take heed." It put out its strong hand as it spoke and clasped him gently by the arm. "Rise and walk with me." The grasp, though gentle as a woman's hand, was not to be resisted. He rose. They passed through the wall and stood upon an open country road with fields on either hand.
"Good heaven! I was bred in this place. I was a boy here."
"You recollect the way?"
inquired the spirit.
"Remember it. I could walk it blindfolded." "Strange to have forgotten it for so many years," observed the ghost. "Let us go on."
Why did his cold eye glisten? Why was he filled with gladness? What was Merry Christmas to Scrooge? Out upon Merry Christmas! What good had it ever done to him?
The ghost stopped at a certain warehouse door and asked Scrooge if he knew it.
"Know it," said Scrooge. "I was apprenticed here."
They went in. At the sight of an old gentleman in a Welsh wig sitting behind such a high desk, Scrooge cried in great excitement.
"Why, it's old Fezziwig, bless his heart. It's Fezziwig alive again."
Old Fezziwig laid down his pen and called out in a comfortable, oily, rich, fat, jovial voice,
"Yo-ho there, Ebenezer, Dick!"
Scrooge's former self, now a young man, came briskly in, accompanied by his fellow apprentice.
"Dick Williams, to be sure, bless me, yes, there he is."
"Yo-ho, my boys," said Fezziwig. "No more work tonight. Christmas Eve, Dick, Christmas Ebenezer. Let's have the shutters up before a man can say Jack Robinson. Hilly-ho, clear away, my lads, and let's have lots of room here."
Clear away. There was nothing they wouldn't have cleared away or couldn't have cleared away with old Fezziwig looking on. It was done in a minute. The warehouse was as snug and warm and dry and bright a ballroom as you would desire to see upon a winter's night. In came a fiddler with a music book. In came Mrs. Fezziwig, one vast, substantial smile. In came three Miss Fezziwigs, beaming and lovable. In came six young followers whose hearts they broke. In came all the young men and women employed in the business. In they all came, anyhow and everyhow. There were dances, and there were forfeits, and more dances, and there was cake, and there were mince pies. Then old Fezziwig stood out to dance with Mrs. Fezziwig. Away they all went, 20 couples at once, hands half round and back again, the other way, down the middle and up again. When the clock struck 11, this domestic ball broke up. Mr. and Mrs. Fezziwig took their stations, one on either side of the door, and shaking hands with every person individually as he or she went out, wished him or her a Merry Christmas. When everybody had retired but the two prentices, they did the same to them. And thus the cheerful voices died away, and the lads were left to their beds, which were under a counter in the back shop.
"A small matter," said the ghost, "to make these silly folks so full of gratitude."
"Small!"
echoed Scrooge.
Why? Is it not? He has spent but a few pounds of your mortal money, 3 or 4, perhaps. Is that so much that he deserves this praise?
It isn't that. It isn't that, spirit. He has the power to render us happy or unhappy, to make our service light or burdensome, a pleasure or a toil. The happiness he gives is quite as great as if it cost a fortune.
He felt the spirit's glance and stopped. What is the matter?
Nothing in particular.
Something, I think.
No, no. I should like to be able to say a word or two to my clerk just now, that's all.
His former self turned down the lamps as he gave utterance to the wish, and Scrooge and the ghost again stood side by side in the open air.
My time grows short. Quick!
This was not addressed to Scrooge or to anyone whom he could see, but it produced an immediate effect, for again Scrooge saw himself. He was older now, a man in the prime of life. There was an eager, greedy, restless motion in the eye, which showed the passion that had taken root, and where the shadow of the growing tree would fall. He was not alone, but sat by the side of a fair young girl in whose eyes there were tears, which sparkled in the light that shone out of the ghost of Christmas past.
"It matters little," she said softly. "To you, very little. Another idol has displaced me, and if it can cheer and comfort you in time to come, I have no just cause to grieve."
"What idol has displaced you?"
"A golden one. I have seen your nobler aspirations fall off one by one until the master passion, gain, engrosses you. Have I not?"
"What then? Even if I have grown so much wiser, what then? I am not changed toward you, am I?"
"Our contract is an old one. It was made when we were both poor. You are changed. When it was made, you were another man."
"I was a boy."
"I can release you."
"Have I ever sought release?"
"In words, no. Never."
"In what, then?"
"In a changed nature, in an altered spirit, in another atmosphere of life, another hope as its great end, in everything that made my love of any worth or value in your sight. But if you were free today, tomorrow, yesterday, can I even believe that you would choose a dowerless girl? And I release you. May you be happy in the life you have chosen."
She left him, and they parted.
"Spirit," said Scrooge, "show me no more. Conduct me home. Why do you delight to torture me?"
"I told you, these were shadows of the things that have been. That they are what they are. Do not blame me."
"Remove me. I cannot bear it. Leave me. Take me back. Haunt me no longer."
Scrooge was conscious of being exhausted and overcome by an irresistible drowsiness, and further, of being in his own bedroom, and had barely time to reel to bed before he sank into a heavy sleep.